I don't know if you'd noticed, but it's a bit chilly out today. And so far today, I've had conversations with two different people who've just come back from somewhere nice and warm. And it's kind of made me think, holidays. Need to start thinking about holidays. Need to start thinking about getting somewhere warmer. And holidays, going on a journey for a holiday, it's a great thing. So I thought, just to kind of get me in the mood, if nobody else, we'd start with one or two famous journeys. I need you to tell me where these people went to on famous journeys. Does anybody know where this crowd went to on a famous journey? Oh, nearly. Madagascar, yes indeed. Alex the lion, Marty the zebra, Melman the giraffe and Gloria the hippo went to Madagascar. Probably warmer there than here. Anybody got any idea where this person went on a journey to? What do you reckon? The moon, indeed. Neil Armstrong went to the moon. Could have been colder there than it is here, I reckon. Two people went on a very famous journey somewhere. Millie, you know works of literature other than Harry Potter. Where did they go? They went to Mount Doom in Middle Earth. Yes, excellent. Frodo and Sam. Right, how about this one? Anyone know? You know? Anyone know? It's apparently the new family film to see. Nobody know? Bella the dog got taken away to New Mexico and walked back to Denver. There we go. Last one. What journey do these ones go on? Oh. Anybody know? Oh. The Arctic? No. Oh. Millie, your enthusiasm is frightening. Where did they go? Everest. Do you know who they are? No. I'll ask Richard then. Indeed, yes. And they were the first people to get to the top of Everest. Lots of different journeys there then. And some of the journeys difficult, maybe even a bit hazardous. But at least all of those who went on those journeys actually made it to the end of their journey, which is more than can be said for someone in one of Jesus' parables. Let's see what happened. Not a very nice experience. A journey that was completely ruined. But I wonder why Jesus told that story. That's something we'll have to think about in a few minutes. But before that, I'm going to hand over to Will. See, I kind of, talking of going on holidays, it's several years ago now, but we had a great holiday. It was February. The weather in England was horrible. It was cold. And we went to stay with my uncle in Jamaica. That's his house. And that's, that's Richard and Andrew and Gwen peering over the balcony. It is a fabulous place, Jamaica. But like all good things, the holiday had to come to the end. And so on the last day, we packed our bags. We went to the airport. And our flight home was cancelled. I guess, arguably, there are worse places in the world to be stranded than Montego Bay. But actually, it was a bit worrying. With the plane we were due to fly on out of commission, we couldn't do anything to help ourselves. However much I might have wished that I was home, and believe it or not, I did start to wish that, I could do nothing to get home.
Until a plane was provided, we were stuck.
So it was a problem,
but nothing like the situation of the man in that story that Jesus told. We were stranded and needed help, but at least we were safe and comfortable. He was stranded and needed help, but he'd been beaten up and left for dead. So now we're going to hear what happened as we have our Bible reading. If we can have those who are doing the Bible reading. It is a very well-known story, of course. A man on a journey, on a dangerous road. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious. It wound down between desolate and craggy hills. It was an ideal haunt for bandits. And sure enough, as the man traveled along, what everyone traveling on that road feared actually happened. He was set upon, brutally beaten, and left for dead. Before long, two people came along the road, one at a time. The first was a priest, one of those responsible for worship and sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. The next was a Levite. He would have worked in the temple, maybe as a musician or a gatekeeper. So, a priest and a Levite, the very people you would expect to help a poor, beaten traveler desperate for help. And yet they hurried past and did nothing. But actually, I can understand why they did that. If this man had been attacked, maybe his attackers were still around. Maybe they were just using him as bait to stop and help. That would have been really risky. But then along came a third man, and shock, horror, number three was a Samaritan. The Jews hated Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. It would be a bit like saying an English soldier had been beaten and left for dead, and along the road came a member of ISIS. What would you expect to happen? You'd think that the Samaritan would see the bloke, give him a good kicking, and then ride on. But actually, what happened was that the Samaritan stopped. That was risky. He bent down to tend the beaten man. That was very risky. He'd got his back to anybody else. He bandaged him up. He put him on his donkey. That was inconvenient because now he'd have to walk. He took him to an inn and he gave the innkeeper enough to keep him for 3 weeks. That was expensive. So, risky, inconvenient, expensive help, and he gave that help to someone who would normally have hated him. Now we heard Jesus told that story because he'd been asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Now in the Old Testament law, it said that people were to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're going to love your neighbor, you have to know who your neighbor is. So, who is your neighbor? The Jewish teachers spent a lot of time discussing that. Maybe your neighbor is just your family. Maybe your neighbor is somebody who lives in the same village as you. And what Jesus said was, all of those ideas? Wrong. You cannot limit neighbor, because anyone who needs your help is your neighbor. Even someone who normally won't appreciate it, somebody who might even hate you. If they need your help, they're your neighbor. And to be a neighbor means to give the help they need, even if it's risky and inconvenient and expensive. And of course, that is just how Jesus loved us. It involved him dying for us, despite the fact that so often we completely ignore him. So, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? What do you reckon? Who thinks priest? Who thinks Levite? Who thinks Samaritan? That's right. And I love the way the story finishes. The expert in the law couldn't even bring himself to say, the Samaritan, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, yep, now you go and do the same. Go and do likewise. That's what Jesus wants his friends to be. People who will do that. People who will be neighbors to anybody who needs their help.